You say amen again?
Amen.
Amen. Marina, you're welcome back anytime. Ben, if this is what we're going to get, you set that bar pretty high. Brother Leo, thank you. Watch and pray. Because what?
Jesus is coming again.
Jesus is coming again. Watch and pray because Jesus is coming again. For those of you who aren't aware, this is part of a 3-year plan, and we are in the midst of it. And this year, we're focusing on watching and praying. So we want to keep with that theme as much as we can. It feels odd not having the clock. This will be a short sermon. I have no idea what time the clock. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your love towards us. We're thankful because you blessed us in so many ways, Lord. Because you care for us. Not because we always get it right, but you care for us because we're your children. And we're so thankful for that. Father, we don't deserve an ounce of the things that you do for us, but you lift us high. And so, Father, we ask that you'll forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. And we pray that you'll continue to convict us and to convert us and that we may walk better in your footsteps. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you have, I want to look at a quick short story. If you have your Bibles with you, can you turn to the book of Luke? It's found in the New Testament, third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And we're going to start reading in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, when you get there, please say amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 1. I'm going to start reading from verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Babia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Zacharias. Who was this man? Well, the Bible says that Zacharias had a lot of things going for him. Zacharias was a righteous man. But the Bible didn't just stop there. Zacharias was a priest, but the Bible didn't stop there. Zacharias was the husband of a righteous woman, but the Bible didn't stop there. Zacharias walked in all the commandments of God, but the Bible doesn't stop there. Zacharias was walking in all the ordinances of God, but the Bible doesn't stop there. Zacharias was blameless. There are very few people in my mind who I would say are blameless. I mean, if I get to know any of you for more than 10 minutes, I'll pick out a flaw. You've already got mine. Where's Joshua? Joshua's in my class. Joshua points out my flaws every chance he gets. But to say that this man was, I mean, the story, I guess any story that starts out this good, something's got to happen. You know, it's like if you read the story of Job, the Bible starts off the story of Job, says Job was perfect and upright and feared the Lord and he eschewed evil. I mean, and then you know something's going to happen because that story's not going to continue. But Zacharias, righteous, blameless, married to a righteous woman, blameless, and he was a priest. And he was working in the sanctuary. Now, because this is an Adventist church, some of you may be very familiar with the sanctuary. This system, I always call it a church, but this system that they had. When you walked into this courtyard, there were different areas of the courtyard. So when you walked in, there was this, you remember there was this altar of what? You remember what that first altar was called? Burnt offerings. And that represented Jesus, because Jesus would be what? You can talk. That's okay. This is not. You can talk. Okay, Jesus, that represented Jesus. Jesus would be the sacrifice for our sins. And then there was you walk past there and there was this bowl, this laver, or this basin of water. And that represented what? Jesus again, because what does Jesus do? Are we in church today? Are we? Is this on? All right now. And then you walked in, because this is an Adventist church, so I know we talk about the sanctuary every now and again. So then we go further and we get into the holy place. And in the holy place, there were these three things that sort of stand out, three pieces of furniture. And on the left, you had these candlesticks that were always well lit, representing Jesus. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. We're getting there. And then on the right, you had this bread, this showbread, as they called it. And this bread representing Jesus, all right, because Jesus is the bread of life. You can say it. And then right as you went further, all of a sudden, there was this altar of incense. And incense would be burned, and they would fill that room. And these incense, the smell, the aroma would go over this curtain and into this area of the most holy place where the presence of God dwelt. Now there are some people here. I see enough people my age or older. You know what incense are. I don't need to explain incense to most of you. If you've been in this country. Have you in the 70s and the 80s? When I was in college in the early 90s, they had to put signs up, no incense burning, because people were accustomed to burning incense. We used to buy them on the corner for $5. You get like 20 of them. Incense just had a great smell. But the incense, whereas we could easily depict the altar of burnt sacrifice and Jesus and how Jesus cleanses us and Jesus is the light of the world and Jesus is the bread of life. These incense represented the prayers. These incense represented prayers because prayers smell good to God. When you pray, it's like walking into a room that makes you want to take a big inhale.
prayers smell good to God. And so here's this righteous man, this blameless man, this walking in all the ordinances, and he's lighting incense. It's another way of saying there's prayer going on. There's a focus of prayer, and this righteous man and this blameless man is doing some ordinance related to prayer, and as the prayers are going up, all of a sudden he sees an angel. And the angel must have looked quite scary. Because anytime someone comes up to you and says, "Don't be afraid," then you might be cautious, and maybe it's because you would be afraid. And so this angel says, "Fear not, fear not. Your prayer has been heard." Just think right now of something that you prayed for and how it would feel if you came to church and an angel said, "Your prayer has been heard." Just think of what that would do to you. Some of you have prayers that you have been praying for years on end. And just imagine now, and whatever it was, you started this prayer and you've been praying this prayer and you've come to church and sometimes you just want to hear God speak to you, but this time an angel shows up and says, "Your prayer has been heard." That's a wow moment. That's an unbelievably incredible knock you off your feet moment. And then he goes on and says, "Elizabeth is going to have a son." You start to see what might have been on the mind of this man at some point in his life. Have any of you, we have some parents in here, has anyone here ever prayed for a child? I know sometimes children just pop up. But has anyone ever, prior to the child, prayed for the child? I know all children aren't planned. When you pray for a child, I got to imagine that people in the Bible aren't incredibly different from people today. When you pray for a child, for me, it's kind of like, "Lord, you know, give me a boy or a girl, I'm okay with that. Lord, maybe 10 fingers, 10 toes. Yeah, Lord, we just want a healthy baby." You know, that list of what, when you're praying for a child, that list can get real short, right? I mean, we prayed for a house and had a much longer list. "We got to have this, and we want taxes to be this, and we want this many bedrooms." We had a much longer list. I prayed for jobs and had real long list of what I needed the job to include. But when praying for a child, it's just like, "Lord, just if you could work this out, this egg can meet this, you know, if you can make this happen, be happy." I imagine most people, when they pray for a child, the list is not that long. You just want life to happen. And so when God shows up, sometimes God shows off. Because he responds and says, "Your prayer has been heard," and he says, "You're gonna have a son." It's like, wow. And your son is going to bring joy and delight. Like, yeah. And your son is going to make everyone else happy too. Yeah. And your son is going to be a joy to the Lord. Wow. And he's not going to drink. What? And he's going to lead others to Christ. What? I mean, it's as if God just showed up and showed off. Like, "I'll answer your prayer the way I choose because I'm God." Sometimes God answers prayers in such a way that you would never call it chance. Sometimes God answers prayers in such a way to let you know it's only God who could have done that. Sometimes something could have happened by chance, but God answers prayers sometimes to say it's only God who could have done that. God showed up and he decided to show out, as if to say, "There's no one else like me. There's no one else like me." And I can imagine now, just picture yourself now, you're you're there. God tells you your prayer has been answered. What do you do? Let's read what this brother did.
Verse 18.
Luke 1, verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. He had been married long enough not to call his wife old. He just said, you know, she's well stricken in years. You get the point. And the angel answering said to him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
I think this angel Gabriel was beside himself. I think on some level, Gabriel must have said, this is not a mistaken identity. You are Zacharias, right? You are the righteous one, right? You are the blameless one, right? You do walk in all the ordinances of God, right? You are the priest, right? You are administering the prayer. Am I right? You are Zacharias.
And when I come to you, the righteous man, the blameless man, who is barren, and I say, your wife is going to have a child, and you say to me, my wife is stricken in years, I'm old, I don't know that this can happen. When we speak as believers from a position that's not of faith, it's better that we shut up. I know shut up is not something you say around children, but it's better that you keep your mouth shut. Is that better? Michael's gotten on me for saying shut up before. So it's better that, but you understand that when someone who you don't even have to be right, is righteous as this person, but when someone who's supposed to believe in God does not speak out of faith in God, it's better that you keep your mouth shut. It's better that you keep quiet. It's better that you say nothing. Because all that you can do is make the situation worse. You know how it is sometimes when everyone's trying to move in a certain direction, and we're all moving in one direction, and one person, it takes one person. Well, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if this is going to work. Sometimes it's better that we just let that go. Gabriel's there, beside himself, as if, it's almost as if, you know, you ever seen somebody, a taxi cab sitting outside saying, well, you, who called me? And the person, I didn't call, and Gabriel's like, I came all the way from heaven to answer your prayer. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the prayer list, and we get so caught up in just sort of lightly praying for people that we don't really consider what it would be like if the prayer were answered. I've told this story. I have a friend of mine who I would lightly pray for. And I say lightly because I never believed they would ever come to Christ. And if someone said, hey, you know, we want to throw some names up for prayer, I would always put this person's name up. I had in high school, I had a lot of guy friends, and I had two female friends who are like were really good friends. And I would talk to my guy friends about God and about, you know, religion or whatever my thoughts were on God. But this one particular female friend, like, no way. She is so far gone.
But I'd put her name up for prayer.
Yeah, yeah, pray for her. She's and pray for her. You know, she was like the troubled child. One day, this troubled child has me on the phone, and she's telling me about how God saved her marriage.
I'm listening to her. I'm like, who's, is God a nickname? Is this, so you calling someone else this name? Who's talking about God?
And she went on to say of how great God is, and all the things that the Lord can do, and she's going on and on. And I remember pulling the phone away from my ear, and I'm looking at it like, you? I didn't even know how to respond. I mean, the multiple times that I had said, yeah, pray for so-and-so, but then when so-and-so got saved, I didn't know how to respond. When she accepted the call, I didn't know how to respond, and part of it was a rebuke because I would never speak to her. It took a neighbor of hers who barely knew her to say, hey, I think you ought to hear about Christ. And I couldn't believe how just the prayers that I had for her were so shallow that I didn't really know what to do once God heard the prayer. And I don't even know that it was God hearing my prayer. It was probably someone who really believed that this person could be saved. But God hears prayers. God picked a man named Zacharias and a woman named Elizabeth, not because they would always be perfect. Zacharias wasn't perfect, but in front of God, he was blameless. But it's nice to know that we have a God who can deal with our lack of faith. I mean, if God chose to not do something on my behalf, because I didn't have the faith of it, nothing would get done. But it was nice to know that even in the lack of faith that Zacharias had, God still said, the child will still come. I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to make sure that everything I said about this man, that he will be a joy, he will be a delight, he will be a leader of people. People will be happy to see him. He will not touch wine. If you could predict that with a child, not touch wine. I don't know how many of you have an issue with wine or how you view it or how you may have a history with it. But there are some people who view some of the life of a Christian as unnecessary. I've been in places where people have offered me drinks, I think just to test me. I think not to really see me drink. I think it was just to say, hey, go ahead. Ready to take a picture probably as soon as I walk past it. I remember going on a flight. I used to take trips all the time. And I remember going on a flight, and the pilot was sitting there just greeting us as we came on. Now, if you're not afraid of flying, then you don't think of everything, you know. But this pilot, as I'm getting on, this pilot's shaking hands, and he's got a Coca-Cola in his, you know, some sort of soda can. And something in me wondered, is that, make sure that's Coca-Cola. Because what if it's not? What if he's camouflaging something? And even if you don't have a fear of flying, if you got on a plane and the pilot had alcohol, you'd walk off the plane. Because why would you put yourself in harm's way? Right? Why would you allow yourself to be, you know, the passenger of someone who's not all there? God, it's as if God takes his character and packages his character up and puts his character as a passenger of our lives. And it's as if God says, okay, now fly the plane. And you're carrying the character of God in all that you do. Can you ever afford to not be your best? Can you ever afford to just have a night on the town when you're carrying the character of God? Because believe it or not, there are some people who will make their decision for whether they'll be saved or not by what they see in you. There were people who would make their decision on whether they would worship God by what they saw in John. So that aspect of his this blamelessness that John was going to have was really important.
But as we consider this year, as we consider this year of prayer and watch, I want us to think about the things that we pray for. Things that we maybe pray for lightly. Think of what it would be like if the person you prayed for really did respond. Do you really want that person saved? And if not, then maybe the prayer should be for yourself. Think of that coworker who, do you really want that coworker saved and to see Christ? And if not, then maybe the prayer is for the change of your own heart. Think of how your lack of faith can be causing you to not pray as earnest as you should. Think about that. It's a blessing to worship a God who sees the good things that we do. There are some times that we do good things. And yet he says, well, I'm going to bless you. And the minute we start to take that step back, it's nice that we have a God who says, I'll still bless you, Bill. I'll still bless you. I'll still show up, and I'll still show up in a mighty way. Prayer life is something that can always be better. Eventually, the tongue of Zacharias was loosed. There came a time when Zacharias, imagine if you couldn't speak. Imagine how you would consider praising God when you finally could speak. When we can't speak, we when you can't do something, you think of what you would do if you could do it. Church, as far as I know, everyone in here can speak. I urge all of us to give God praise while we can, to speak from faith while we can. And if we have a lack of faith, pray that God will help our unbelief. We've got a lot of things to do, a lot of things to do. But God is faithful. God is more faithful to us than we could ever imagine. And if you've got something on your heart that you've been praying for and you haven't seen it, if you're saying, God, I've been doing this and I've been trying this and I've been trying to do my best, Lord, and I still feel barren. I've been doing all the right things. I've been doing A, B, and C and everything, all the advice I've been doing, and I still feel barren. Speak from a position of faith. Speak from a position of faith and watch and see what God does. I urge you to test God. To test God. And as this year is ending, and we'll have a different theme next year. But test God continually in your prayer life and in the prayer life of this church. I think we're going to continue to see incredible things. Father God, we desire to turn our eyes to you. You're the only one who can fix the problems that we have. You're the only one who can answer our prayer. So, Father, we turn our eyes to you and we leave our burdens at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessings we pray, as from thy worship we go our ways. Guide in life's conflict all through the day. Save in thy kingdom, thine be the praise.